Okay, the reading today is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, and it is on page 907 in the Pew Bible. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus.
Okay, full disclosure, Bruce did send me the order of service. It's in my phone, which is in Bev's purse, and about halfway through the service, I started thinking, oh my goodness, I should probably have looked at that before I got in the car this morning, but I didn't. Thank you. See that practicing part? Anyways, the story is told of two men who were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted towards the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they would not make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But your daddy was a preacher. Surely he taught you some sort of prayer. So pray, John, pray. The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. For what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Sometimes it's hard to be thankful. We feel worried. We feel like the bulls are catching up with us. Sometimes it seems that we can't be happy unless there is something to complain about. In order to change this, we don't need to change our circumstances. We need to begin to give thanks because gratitude is one of the keys to a happy life. We tend to think that being unhappy leads people to complain. But it is truer to say that it is complaining that leads to people becoming unhappy. Become grateful and you will be a much happier person. Our text for this morning has already been read. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All of God's commands in the Bible are beyond our ability to obey with our own strength, so we must rely on the Holy Spirit. But some of the Bible's commands are not only difficult, they're impossible. Matthew 5:48. "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." In all of history, no one except Jesus has ever come close to keeping that command. Or could anyone claim to have achieved perfect obedience to the two great commandments? Love God with your total being and to love others as much as you love yourself, Matthew 22. Our text this morning then gives us three impossible commands. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If only the Apostle Paul had said, rejoice a lot, pray often, try to be thankful. We could say, okay, maybe we can do that, or we can at least try to do that. But no one can honestly say we can do that. If I came back next Sunday and asked you how you did, could you honestly say I've kept those commands this past week? There wasn't a single moment when I wasn't rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. So what do we do with these impossible commands? I find it interesting that Paul doesn't offer any explanation or help on what these commands mean or how we can obey them. But other scriptures do offer some help in understanding what these commands mean and how we can begin to develop attitudes and habits that will help us move forward toward the mark, even if in this life we will never obey those commands completely. Paul says in verse 18, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Virtually all commentators agree that this refers to the previous three commands, not just to the third command. You may have trouble discerning God's will in some areas of your life, but rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks are always God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it's this last phrase that gives us the underlying clue as to how we can begin to obey these commands. We must be in Christ Jesus. Without being in union with Him through His Holy Spirit, we could never come close to obeying these commands. As we learn to abide in Him and to trust in Him and trust Him to work through us, we will progressively be conformed to His image. Jesus was always rejoicing, always praying, and always thankful. So being in Him and relying on Him are the keys to becoming like Him in these three qualities. The first one, rejoice always. What does this command mean? Does it mean that we always go around with a smile on our face and an upbeat Tigger bounce in our step? If rejoicing always means we're always upbeat, never feeling sadness, then we have a problem, because neither Jesus nor Paul were always happy. It's interesting that the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is 1 Thessalonians 5:6, rejoice always. But the shortest verse in the English New Testament is John 11:35, Jesus wept. As He faced the cross, Jesus prayed with loud crying and tears in Hebrews chapter 5. And Romans 12 says, the Apostle Paul tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. He does not say exhort those who weep to stop weeping and start rejoicing. So rejoice always does not mean deny your feelings, put on a happy face, and never feel sad. So what does Paul mean? First, it's important to remember that he wrote this to new believers who were suffering persecution because of their faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And the command follows Paul's exhortation that we should not get even when someone mistreats us. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. James in chapter 1 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So given their difficult circumstances, this command to rejoice always has to be viewed not primarily as a matter of feeling, but as a matter of obedience. When we are in difficult trials, or if people have mistreated us because of our faith, we have a choice. Either we can focus on our trials and lapse into self-pity, or we can set our minds on things above where Christ is at the right hand of God, where our life is hidden in Him. Colossians chapter 3. How do we develop a habit of rejoicing always? First, daily focus on the riches that God has given us in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about all the spiritual blessings from God in Him. God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. In love, He predestined us to adoption as His child. He has given us an inheritance and has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Second, walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. To walk in the Spirit means daily to yield to Him and to rely on Him to control your life in every situation. It takes time to produce fruit. No surprise to any farmers. Fruit doesn't pop out on a tree the minute you put it in the ground. But if you walk consistently by the Spirit, eventually the fruit of joy will be yours. God commands us to pray without ceasing. Does this mean that we must pray every waking moment? Obviously not, because again, neither Paul nor Jesus Christ did that. It's helpful to know that the word translated without ceasing is used of a hacking cough. A person with a bad cough doesn't cough continuously But often and repeatedly and is aware of their condition, especially if you're going to board a flight for 4 hours. An army would attack a city but not succeed, and so they would regroup and attack over and over again until they had victory. Even so, our prayers should be frequent and persistent. Like the friend who came at midnight to ask for a loaf of bread in Luke chapter 11, we keep knocking until we get what we're after. Like the widow who kept bothering the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18, we keep coming back until we obtain what we're asking for. Rejoicing always and praying without ceasing are related, because it is through prayer that we lay hold of the riches that we have in Christ, which are the source of true joy. Prayer claims the promises of God in our trials. Laying hold of God's promises brings joy because we know that He is for us. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him over for us, how will He also not with Him freely give us all things? How can we develop a habit of praying without ceasing? First, we need to realize that it is a lifelong process, that we can't do life on our own. In other words, we need to recognize our need to depend on the Lord in every situation. Prayer is the language of trusting in God. Second, send up short prayers whenever you can. When you think of a loved one or a friend, send up a short prayer for him or her. When someone asks you to pray for a need, don't promise to pray later and then forget. Pray right then and there with the person. I love the scene in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a cupbearer to a pagan king, and he was sad in the king's presence. It was a serious offense back then to be sad in the presence of a king, and Nehemiah was afraid. He explained to the king that he was sad because his home city, Jerusalem, was desolate and destroyed. The king asked what Nehemiah would request. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, it says, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king. Notice that. Nehemiah didn't excuse himself for a few minutes of prayer. He didn't say, King, give me a second, I'll be right back. Rather, he shot up a silent prayer to God and then spoke to the king. That's what we need to regularly do in every situation. We need to take the time to pray. And finally, God commands us to give thanks in everything. This command means that in every situation, we are to give thanks to our sovereign and good God and Savior. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul puts it, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Giving thanks in every situation does not mean that we must be happy with every situation or resigned to accept matters without praying and working for change. Also, we don't need to feel thankful before we give thanks. When God takes us through hard trials, we don't necessarily feel thankful. But by faith, we can say, Lord, I trust that you are good and that you know what you are doing in this difficult situation. I submit to your sovereign hand and purpose, knowing that you will work it together for my good. So, like rejoicing always, giving thanks in everything is often a choice to believe God in difficult situations. When I was about 12 years old, I read the book The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. Corrie relates an incident that taught her to be thankful for things that we would not normally be thankful for. Corrie and her sister Betsy, prisoners of the Nazis, had just been transferred to one of the worst prison camps yet, Ravensbrück. And upon entering the barracks, they found them extremely overcrowded and infested with fleas. Their scripture reading from their smuggled Bible that morning was 1 Thessalonians. It reminded them to rejoice always, pray constantly, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Betsy told Corey to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Corey at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas, but Betsy persisted. Corey finally agreed to somehow thank God even for the fleas. During the months spent at the camp, they were surprised at how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings in their barrack without guard interference. Several months later, they learned that the guards would not enter the barracks because of the fleas. How can we develop a habit of thankfulness to God in every situation? First and most importantly, deepen our understanding of God's sovereignty and goodness. The story of Joseph in Genesis chapters 37 to 50 illustrates this truth. Joseph's brothers hated them and planned to kill him until they saw a caravan of traders heading towards Egypt, and so they cruelly sold him as a slave. He ended up getting thrown into prison, even though he obeyed God by resisting the advances of his boss's wife. He begged the cupbearer to mention his case to Pharaoh so that he could be released, but the cupbearer forgot. 2 years later, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream and was instantly elevated to the second most powerful position in the country of Egypt. Later, he was able to be reconciled with his brothers and see his father Jacob again. But after Jacob died, the brothers feared that Joseph would get even with them for what they had done to him. At that point, Joseph wept and asked, "Am I in God's place?" And he went on to reveal the theological perspective that had sustained him through those awful years of slavery and imprisonment. Genesis 50, verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring out this present result, to preserve many people alive." Joseph saw God both as sovereign and good. Submitting to the sovereign goodness of God in every situation is the key to a thankful heart. Second, thankfulness will be our habit when trusting God is our habit. Thankfulness and trust are bound together. If you're trusting God, you're thankful. If you are not thankful, you're not trusting God. This is illustrated with the children of Israel. God delivered them from slavery in Egypt by the 10 miraculous plagues on the Egyptians while sparing the Israelites. He miraculously brought them through the Red Sea and closed the water on top of the pursuing Egyptian army. You would think that by this point they could thankfully trust in God, but we read in Exodus chapter 15 that they went 3 days into the wilderness, 3 days, found no water, and grumbled at Moses, which was really grumbling at God. They didn't trust that the God who had powerfully saved them from slavery could provide water for them in the desert. If we're grumbling, we're not trusting. If we're not trusting, we're not thankful. Develop a habit of trusting God, especially in trials, and you will thank Him both for His great salvation and for the opportunity to see Him work in your time of need. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Even though we will never obey these commands perfectly, we should be working at making progress, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.